This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. A week that was dominated by the growing crisis surrounding energy bills. The Prime Minister held a summit with the Big Six power firms on Monday to discuss soaring prices. Consumer groups and the regulator Ofgem also attended the meeting to explore cheaper and clearer deals and to try and cut our fuel consumption. Speaking afterwards, David Cameron admitted he can't force firms to cut bills.
It is important with energy bills going up because of world energy prices that the government gets in there and helps people. And that's why we've got the winter fuel payments, we've got the cold weather payments, we've got this warm home discount where we're going to make sure that the most vulnerable pensioners get £120 off their bill. And we also want to help as many people as possible get insulation and home improvement so their energy bills can be lower, but they have warmer homes. So we're going to do all of those things. In terms of pricing, yes, we need to make sure that the energy market is competitive, that energy companies are making their energy available for others to come into the market, and we'll be doing all of those things.
And will the energy companies, will you be making them bring down their prices?
But we are making them be competitive. We're going to make they're permanently being watched by Ofgem to make sure it is a competitive market, and we are making them make their energy available so that others can come in and provide customers with a good service. We're also writing to millions of customers today to encourage them to shop around to get the cheapest possible deal they can for their energy. So this is about the government, about the Citizens Advice Bureau, about other organisations all working together to help people to keep their energy bills down.
It was decided homes could get subsidised insulation, and there will be talks about making tariffs simpler so customers can get the best price. Labour leader Ed Miliband believes the government needs to take much firmer action.
I think what people are worried about is that energy bills just seem to be going up and up, and it's incredibly hard for people to make ends meet. Now, the government just is offering warm words. I'm clear they should be doing something else. First of all, they should be saying to the energy companies, you're making record profits from each customer. You shouldn't be going ahead with crippling price rises this winter, which are going to hit families and businesses up and down the country. And secondly, you should be engaging in big reform of the energy market.
So not, you're saying they're ripping off customers at the moment?
I'm saying that the energy companies are not giving the customers a good deal. They're not offering a fair deal. And the government's job is to say, we're going to reform the way the market works. We're going to make sure that we end this rigged market once and for all, and we have a fairer deal for consumers and a more transparent energy market. And frankly, I think the government is just engaging in warm words and isn't willing to have the courage to take on the vested interests in the energy sector and say we've got to end the fast buck culture. The question is the market fair? Are the consumers getting a fair deal? And the problem at the moment is that, first of all, the energy companies are making record profits on each customer. We know that from the regulator. The government doesn't seem willing to say what they should be saying, which is to the energy companies, stop these crippling price rises. It's a very simple message that they should be giving. And the second thing they should be doing is saying, look, this is a rigged market. It's not working to the benefit of consumers, and we're going to reform it. They're the messages that we should be hearing from the government, not simply warm words. Look, I'm very clear. At the moment, the problem is that the energy companies generate the energy and they supply the energy. And basically, we have sweetheart deals between the generators and the suppliers. And what we should have is proper reform, which forces them to open up that market. It's a rigged market. We should be having new companies coming into that market. And it's government's job to change the rules, not to offer warm words as they're doing, but to engage in real reform, which is what we need.
But Energy Secretary Chris Huhne says it was a very productive meeting.
We've had a very good meeting with the six major companies, with the consumer groups, which Consumer Focus and many others who have an interest in this area. And one of the things that does come out is the importance of various key messages that we should be checking to see whether or not we're on the cheapest tariff. We should be switching if we're not on the cheapest tariff, and taking the opportunity ahead of this winter to really make sure that we're insulating so that we can save money. And those are messages that all of the participants have been able to agree around. Obviously not everything is agreed, but I do think that we've got a very substantial measure of agreement, and we can go forward to this winter with some confidence that we can get people switching more. In the past, I think people have heard energy secretaries say, and indeed others, that it's a very good time to switch, and then they've said, well, are we simply going to end up with the same bill because we switch to somebody who then puts their prices up? all of the big six suppliers who supply 99% of the UK market have now announced their price increases for the winter. A number of them have actually said that they're now going to hold those price increases through the winter. So this is a very good time to check that you are on the cheapest tariff. And for many people, that means taking advantage, for example, simply of moving to direct debit, which alone can save people £100 off an average energy bill of a little more than £1,300. So it's not a negligible amount. And for many other people, there are additional savings that can be made by going onto a cheaper tariff with the same supplier or indeed with another supplier. So altogether, I think it was actually an encouraging meeting. I was very pleased that we managed to get all the key participants together. And I hope very much that we can help British consumers check that they're on the cheapest tariff, switch to a cheaper tariff if they're not, and save some money there, and insulate to save. Around those key messages are something that we can do in the short run to make sure that consumers get back control over their energy bills and that we can have a little more spending money rather than having it go straight up the chimney or out the window in higher energy bills.
North Sound Energy Week.
Later in the week, a report from Aberdeen-based financial consultants Deloitte showed drilling activity in the North Sea has risen dramatically in recent months. The survey showed it's risen by 45% compared to earlier this year. 16 wells were initiated between the start of July to the end of September. That's five more than the previous quarter. However, the report does reveal the overall trend is still continuing to tumble, with the number drilled over the year 41% lower than last year. A Northeast energy industry firm has become one of the first companies in the country to access the Scottish Loan Fund this week. Aberdeen-based Fuel Oil Tools specialises in developing and manufacturing equipment for the oil and gas industry. They've secured a £1 million loan from the Scottish Government to support plans for growth. Finance Secretary John Swinney visited the company this week and said investments like this one are important to kickstart the economy.
The Scottish Government is putting in place every measure we can to support economic recovery. And one of the key things that we need to do is to make sure we improve access to finance for companies that want to grow, to expand, to increase their number of employees and to export more of their business. Fuel Oils here in Aberdeen is a very innovative company. It has attracted support from the Scottish Loan Fund, which is an investment in the company to support its expansion and its development. It's extremely welcome and it's exactly the type of investment that we should be making to build our way out of the economic challenges that we face.
So what kind of criteria do a business need to meet to be eligible for help?
Companies that want to take part in the loan fund have got to be prepared to set out the process of expansion they want to take forward. They've got to have strong business foundations for the proposals they're bringing forward. There has to be an emphasis very much on innovation and development within the marketplace. And the companies clearly have got to be very sound companies financially and operationally. And Fuel Oils here in Aberdeen passes all of those tests. I'm delighted that they have applied for this support and it will assist the company in developing what's a very innovative contribution to the oil and gas sector, which is of significant interest to the Scottish economy and particularly to the economy here in the North East.
And it's a sector that's taken a battering. I mean, albeit this, we're in a supply chain company, but, you know, is it important to just support the sector as much as possible in, when it is suffering in these economic times?
The oil and gas sector is a very significant sector in the Scottish economy, not just because of the development and production activities that go on within the North Sea sector, but because of the fact that we now have in the North East individuals and companies with 20, 30, 40 years of experience in developing in the oil and gas sector. That's an important contribution to the export capability of Scotland. So a bright and buoyant future for the oil and gas sector is fundamental to how we ensure that the Scottish economy is strengthened out of these economic challenges and that we use every measure we have at our disposal to support development within the sector.
Managing Director of Fuel Oil, Colin McCracken, told us the extra funding will make a big difference.
Well, it gives us the funds, you know, to grow and to actually break into other markets, which is what we're proposing to do. As I said before, with the current economic climate, the banks are not helping anyone just now. So, you know, small companies like ourselves that's got growth potential, this offers us a way forward without sort of diluting shareholdings, etc. And that's where we found it of benefit. It's certainly not the cheapest form of loan you're going to get, but at the same time, you know, when with ourselves and the products that we produce, we've got a certain window of opportunity. And this money gives us the chance to basically, you know, promote it a wee bit more, or better, hopefully.
Yeah. And would you encourage others, I mean, for the process itself, how difficult has it been, and would you encourage other businesses to get involved?
Yeah, I mean, I would. If you're looking for finance, you've got growth potential, then yes, this certainly gives you an opportunity. And as I say, the benefit from our point of view is it allows you to do it without reducing your shareholding. I mean, you don't work really hard to set up a business and then give it away at the end of the day. I mean, you're looking to hopefully get the potential and get the returns for all the work that you've put in. And this loan fund does, you know, allow you to do that. But as I said, it's certainly not the cheapest way of doing it. But beggars can't be choosers at the end of the day. We have to grow. We have to take advantage of the fact that currently we have what we class as the best products in the market. This gives us the opportunity to do so.
It could be, you know, it's been a dark time for anybody that's involved in business and a scary time. So I suppose, like you say, that there's pros and cons, but at the end of the day, a reassurance that your government want you to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to help as best they can. And for little start-up businesses, we were getting told today that the Scottish Enterprise have various funds to try and assist the smaller businesses. We're in a fortunate position that we have a certain amount of market share, and then we have got the potential to grow that bit further. But for start-up companies, you know, it's very difficult to fund a business just now with the banks not helping very much. But the SLF has certainly helped us. You know, and it's certainly the way forward if somebody's got the same potential as we have.
You're listening to North Sound Energy Week.
On Thursday, the future of the Neg Yard in Easter Ross was confirmed. The First Minister confirmed the sale of the mothballed site after years of complicated legal wrangling. The Global Energy Group want to create a hub there, servicing the renewables industry and with it bringing 2,000 jobs. Alex Salmon told us it's an occasion he thought may never come.
A fantastic day for global energy, but a great day for the Highlands. And what we're seeing today is the potential renaissance of marine engineering in the Highlands of Scotland, and the Highlands being able to play its full part in building the great new machines that are going to dominate the energy provision of the next century. Now, what a thing to have and to bring this great facility back into operation. I mean, this facility, from employing thousands in the 70s and, you know, boiled down to two people, and now hopefully going back to 2,000 people over the next few years. What a great opportunity and what a great day.
And working closely, hopefully, with locals and the UHI to develop skills.
Very much so. I mean, obviously, the Highlands and Isles Enterprise have invested in the infrastructure that we need to turn this not just into an oil and gas facility, but into a renewable energy facility. But, of course, the big investment really is investment in people. And that's what Highlands and Islands Enterprise, I've been talking to the company about, obviously the University of Highlands and Islands, the colleges locally, for looking at how young people can get an opportunity, but also the skills perhaps need a bit of retraining, reorientated from other areas, because, you know, what jobs are is hope, basically. So you can sign up today as a day for celebration, but above all, a day for hope.
And are you hoping that there'll be more focus on the renewable side of things?
Very much so. I mean, well, as we now know, and even David Cameron has finally realised that oil and gas is going to be with us in huge quantities for another 40, 50 years. So there's great opportunities there, great opportunities. But Global Energy know that. I mean, they're one of the most successful companies in Europe, also one of the most fast-growing. But their new string to their bow is obviously the capability of this yard to help with the fabrication of these great renewable structures. I mean, many of them are coming to the Moray Firth, for example, in the next few years. As we know, the Highlands of Scotland dominate the provision of tidal and wave power. The potential, the great potential, perhaps 1 million Scottish homes will be powered by tidal and wave power in 10 years' time. So these structures have to be built, and we're better than here at NIG.
Mr. Salmond also addressed the pressing issue of the week in his welcome to delegates at the SNP party conference in Inverness. He posed the question, as Scotland strengthens its position in the renewable energy industry, why are people here still living in fuel poverty? The First Minister said the Westminster government has a lot to answer for.
Why do we have fuel poverty in Scotland amid energy plenty? And I'm sure that the conference, as well as working out how we can further develop the great energy resources in Scotland, is going to be asking searching questions of why, in that context, under the tutelage and control of Westminster government, we've got fuel poverty in Scotland. One, you know, the great vast energy resources of Scotland here at NIG being developed by this great company with the assistance of the Scottish government, also let down by the UK government at Longannet just yesterday, a dreadful decision which has got severe implications for the long-term future of the coal industry in Scotland. Well, Scotland has the greatest array of energy resources in Europe. You know, we've got oil, we've got gas, we've got wave, we've got wind, we've got tidal power, we've got hydropower, we've got coal. At least we have it for now, and that's a tremendous array of energy resources. The question I've got is, amid all this energy plenty, why do we have fuel poverty?
And it's hoped up to £1 billion of UK government funding can be redirected towards an Aberdeenshire power station. A decision made this week to abandon a green energy scheme at Longannet in Fife has freed up the carbon capture and storage cash. The plant in Peterhead has long been an option as a base for the innovative technology. Sam Gardner from WWF Scotland says it's the most obvious choice.
Yes, it was very disappointing to hear that Longannet won't be at the forefront and leading the testing of CCS. After 4 years, you would have really hoped that there would have been a winner from that competition, and Longannet was very well placed to be at the forefront of an important new industry with real potential for tackling climate change. It is very important that we test CCS. There's a large reliance on it, and we need to know if this technology will work. That we have an awful lot of new gas plants that are being pursued through the planning system, both here across the UK, but also here in Scotland. And it's very important that we find out whether or not CCS is a viable technology that can be fitted to our existing coal and gas-fired power stations and remove the carbon from them so that we're not contributing to climate change. CCS, along with obviously renewables, for which Scotland's amazingly well placed, and energy efficiency, are going to be very, very important in tackling climate change. Long term, we believe that the world can meet its energy demands through renewables and energy efficiency. But in the meantime, there is a very, very important role for carbon capture and storage, particularly around the world in China and India, where there are thousands of coal-fired power stations, where this technology is vitally important if they're to be able to meet their climate targets and play a part in tackling climate change. Scotland is very, very well placed, and Peterhead now is at the forefront of doing this, testing this new technology and putting Scotland in a position where it can export real expertise that will go an awful long way to helping tackling global climate change. It's vitally important. We can't afford to stutter and stall again. We've had 4 years of a competition with nothing to really do, no actual change on the ground as a result. There's an awful lot of learning, though, that's come from the work that was done at Longannet, and it's important that the process is now accelerated, the UK government make very clear how they propose to go forward with this, and that Peterhead is put very much at the top of the pile because it's the next best place to be testing this technology. Within the next 12 months, we'd hope to see some real progress and some clarity as to how this competition is going to be pursued and some real action on the ground to make CCS a reality. It's particularly important that CCS is tested on Peterhead because we have a large number of gas-fired power stations already on the energy system, on the electricity system here in the UK. We've got new gas-fired power stations that are being pursued by energy companies through the planning system. We've got a new one that's just been consented in East Lothian in Scotland. All of these need to be retrofitted. They need to have carbon capture and storage technology fitted to them. So Peterhead is vitally important in testing this technology, and it's particularly well placed with its geographical location to be at the forefront of demonstrating the effectiveness of CCS and really testing whether this technology is going to play a part in tackling climate change. Now, this would be the first scheme in Europe if this was to work. So if Peterhead was to win the funding from the UK government and to pursue this, it could be the first scheme in Europe and indeed the first scheme globally that would actually fit full CCS to an operating gas-fired power station and store that carbon that would otherwise go into the atmosphere underground, undersea, in areas of the North Sea where we know vast amounts to do with the geology of them, better than we do in many other places of the world. So Peterhead is vitally, you know, incredibly well positioned to lead in the development of this new technology, but it's very, very important that the UK government make very clear early on that Peterhead is credible applicant in this competition, and that they're going to accelerate the whole process so that we don't have the same long, drawn-out, protracted competition that we've had over the last 4 years.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.